You're listening to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about adopting a plant-based diet, full or part-time. Our goal is to empower you to live a long and healthy life. You can find today's show at ordinaryvegan.net or on iTunes. If you have any questions, please send an email to questions at ordinaryvegan.net.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast. My name is Nancy Montori, and I am very grateful that you have tuned into this podcast. My goal is to help you live a long, healthy life that is kind to the planet and animals. And I do that by advocating a healthy, whole foods, plant-based diet. I am very excited today to have as my guest Dr. John McDougall. If you're not familiar with Dr. McDougall, he is a physician and nutrition expert who has helped thousands of people overcome chronic disease. He does this with a very special plant-based diet called the Starch Solution. And he is treated like a rock star by the people who reclaim their health by following the McDougall program. Dr. McDougall has been fighting the fight for a long time. Here is a little background. Dr. McDougall began challenging the system of food as far back as 1978 when he lived in Hawaii. He discovered that millions of Hawaiians were eating white rice that was covered in talc powder. The rice company was using talc powder to prevent spoilage, and you can't mine talc without asbestos. After a year-long fight with the rice companies, Dr. McDougall won, and talc was removed from the rice sold in Hawaii, California, and Puerto Rico. He also fought for an informed consent law requiring doctors to tell women their surgical options when faced with breast cancer. The reason such laws were needed is that doctors were not telling women that surgery did not improve survival because the disease had already spread to the rest of the woman's body. Dr. McDougall thought a woman should know all the facts. This fight took 2 years, and once again, he won. But his colleagues retaliated against him for making them tell women the truth about breast cancer. And he lost his hospital privileges because he could no longer buy malpractice insurance. But, of course, that didn't stop Dr. McDougall. He is a pioneer in advocating a nutrition program to treat chronic disease, and in 2002, Dr. McDougall began the McDougall program in Santa Rosa, California. The McDougall program is a 10-day or 3-day residential treatment program which features a plant-based, low-fat, starch-based diet. In June 2013, he released his best-selling book, The Starch Solution, and it has sold well over 1 million copies. His wife, Mary, contributed recipes for the book. The Starch Solution is based on a simple swap by fueling your body primarily with carbohydrates rather than proteins and fats. He says this will boost your energy, make you feel great, and reverse chronic diseases like heart disease, obesity, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and he has science and testimonials to back that up. You can learn more about all his programs, books, videos, and podcasts at drmcdougall.com. That's drmcdougall.com, and I will have lots of links to everything in this week's show notes. So, let's welcome Dr. John McDougall to the Ordinary Vegan community. Hi, Dr. McDougall.
Hello.
I am so honored to have you here today and love your determination and dedication to helping people ward off and even reverse chronic disease. So thank you so much for being here.
No, that's nice. The reward is mine. Rewards in life come from helping other people. I was given this gift. I've been given many gifts. And one of them is the knowledge as to why people are sick. And I'm a medical doctor, and having that knowledge gives me the opportunity to, cause some very powerful changes. And I do help people make these changes. Unfortunately, this message that I've been trying to share for over 40 years is not popular. Well, it is. It's getting more popular, but it's not as popular as, say, the prevention of polio, which, of course, is the dietary problems in the United States are far greater than the epidemic of polio was. So if somebody knew the cure of diabetes, and the cure of heart disease and obesity, and how to prevent cancers and so on, you would think that would get the same kind of attention, same kind of popularity, overnight success that's some of our other great medical discoveries have caused, but it hasn't. I've known this for 50 years, well, 40 years, let's say, and other people have known what I teach for thousands of years. It's a very simple message. So anyway, what I do is I'm a medical doctor. I'm a board-certified internist. See patients, or have up until recently. And the reason I don't now is just I'm busy doing other things. And I have other doctors that see patients with me. So I take care of people who have common diseases, which is basically everybody in the United States. 80% of people are overweight. 40% are obese. At least half are pre-diabetic, and about 15% are diabetic. And these people I take care of, and what I do is I tell them what causes their illnesses and their lack of personal appearance that they're looking for. And I tell them what it is, and I show them how to fix it. And basically, it's just changing the food. People are sick. I'll tell you the whole thing in just a couple of sentences. People are sick in the United States, Europe, and now China and India and the rest of the world, because they eat like kings and queens. They eat like aristocrats. As a result, they get fat. They get the gout in their feet. They get diabetes and so on, just like kings and queens have for thousands of years. Just because in this economy and this day and age, we have so much richness, wealth, that over half the population eats like a king or a queen, and it shows. The way you solve the problem is you go back to the traditional human diet, which is what I teach. There has to be a human diet. I mean, there's a diet for elephants and a diet for mosquitoes. And I mean, there's a diet for every species that allows them to look, feel, and function their best. There must be such a diet for people, human beings, and there is. It starts out, of course, with breast milk in the beginning. But then the diet for people, childhood and adults, is a diet based on starch. Let me say it again, just so you didn't think I misspoke. It's a diet based on starch. That's what.
So you promote foods like corn and white potatoes and that are high in carbohydrates. And yeah. And most people are under the false impression that white potatoes can make us fat. Can you tell us why starch is healthy?
Well, it's because that's the way human beings were designed, millions of years ago. It used to be starch eaters, just like cats were designed to be meat eaters. It's the right diet for people. Why did God decide to make people starch eaters? Well, starch has a lot of advantages. It's got lots of protein, vitamins, and minerals, and it's highly compact and calories that are easy to burn, very efficient, cause long-distance endurance to occur. And, it's not the kind of calories that make people fat. What makes people fat is eating fat. Does that make any sense at all? The fat you eat is the fat you wear? And so when whoever or whatever decided to put the human being together, they decided the fuel for this animal should be starch. And it has been. Almost everybody that has walked planet Earth in the last, 2.5 million years, people have been around, maybe only 800,000, I don't know. But almost everybody has eaten a diet based on starch. In Asia, it was often rice. In Central America, it was often corn. The Aztecs and the Mayans were known as the people of the corn. In South America, it was potatoes. It's just the food for people. And it's abundant. It's easy to grow. It provides all the nutrients we need. It doesn't have the things that are harmful to us, which are okay for other animals designed to eat those things. Like, for example, fat, saturated fat. And it's not harmful for a dog, which is an omnivore or a carnivore like a cat. I mean, these aren't harmful things because they're designed to eat them. But for people, those are components of the food that just burden the body and make it sick. You know, look at history, look at geography, look at historical literature. I mean, look, wherever you look, people are starch eaters. Animal foods have been for special occasions or, as they say, feast or famine. So, yeah, a human being is a starchivore, starchitarian.
So what foods can you eat? What foods do you recommend in the starch solution? And it is all vegan. That is correct, right?
Well, vegan, of course, is a word that doesn't offer much description to
plant-based,
me to what
yes.
the you know vegan could be potato chips or Coca-Cola. It just happens to be yes, all plant food. And what I recommend people eat is starch, like they do in China. Before 1980 in China, 90% of the food was white rice. And before 1980, there was no obesity, no type 2 diabetes. Now in China, 35 years later, they've changed to the American diet. And if you ride on airplanes, you'll see people from China speaking Chinese. They can hardly fit in the airplane seat, just like fellow Americans. In China today, 12% of the population has diabetes, and half are pre-diabetic, and obesity is becoming an epidemic. It's just the way it always has been, always will be. We will always be starch eaters. That's the human diet. Until you learn it, you'll be out of control.
Can you give us an example of the starch that you recommend in your program and some of the other foods that you promote in your program?
Well, when you look at your plate, eyeballing your plate, you ought to see about 90% of the food as rice or potatoes or pastas or breads or cooked beans. You know, about 90% of the food should be these kinds of foods. What would distinguish a starch from any other plant food would be starches are very high in calories, which is good, not bad. You need calories to win wars and to chase grandchildren around. It's loaded with calories, has loads of protein, all you'd need, but not too much. Has all your vitamins and minerals except for B12, and it's a whole other discussion. But 11 of the 13 known vitamins come from plants. The 12th one isn't a vitamin. It's hormone D, or you call it vitamin D. Comes from the sun. And the 13th is vitamin B12, which comes from bacteria. Otherwise, the 11 known vitamins come from plants. That's because we need these components, and we don't make them, and we got to get them from someplace, and we get them from plants.
Aren't a lot of the starchy foods classified as high glycemic foods? So would it be okay for the starch solution be good for someone with, say, type 2 diabetes?
A starch-based diet will cure. I'm not talking about remission. I'm talking about cure 100% of people with type 2 diabetes.
Wow.
That's because type 2 diabetes is a normal adaptation of the body when it is presented with too much rich food. It develops insulin resistance. As a result, blood sugar goes up and lots of other things happen. It's just a protective mechanism, type 2 diabetes. So when you stop challenging the body with all that burdensome, rich food, it doesn't have to go to those protection mechanisms, and the blood sugar becomes normal, and you lose weight, and so on. You know, I think I really just have to give you the message to the point. You got to get it. We have to move on. Starch is the diet of a human being. That's what people are designed to eat, and if you fail to follow those rules, you'll be sick. It's just like if you decided to feed your kitty cat baked potatoes. I don't care how hard you try, how much you plead with your kitty cat to eat those baked potatoes, he or she's not going to do it. And if you stuff them down their throat, they're going to get sick and they're going to die. It's the wrong food for cats. So let's get on with the discussion. The food for human beings is starch. And once you learn that, everything becomes simple and easy and enjoyable. I mean, you love potatoes. I know you do. Yeah. You love corn. You love bread. Why? I mean, think about it a minute. Why would you naturally love these things? You really hate meat. I can't get any of your listeners to eat chicken. Even if I take the feathers off, they won't eat it. Well, even if I boil it with no feathers, they won't eat it. They got to cover it up with a barbecue sauce or, you know, something to kill the taste, to make it palatable. You don't like these foods that the industry is making you eat. Naturally, you don't like them. You naturally like rice and corn and sweet potatoes and beans and peas and lentils and breads and pastas. And that's because it's your diet.
Well, how did you?
So we're on with that.
And how did you figure it out? I mean, you're a pioneer in plant-based nutrition. Like, how did you zone in on this? Because no one else is doing it.
Well, they are. But I had some unique situations, unique experiences. And because of these, I had no choice but to face the truth. I started out in the 70s, early 70s, as a sugar plantation doctor on the Big Island of Hawaii. That's where I started my general practice. I'm now an internist. But on the Big Island, I took care of people who worked on a sugar plantation. There were about 5,000 on our plantation, about 5,000 people. And they were first, second, third, and fourth generation Filipinos, Japanese, Chinese, Koreans. And what I noticed in my clinical practice is that there was no obesity, breast cancer, prostate cancer, rheumatoid arthritis, et cetera, in my first-generation patients, who, by the way, ate the worst diet. They lived on a diet of rice and some vegetables and occasionally a little fish, not very often. They weren't very good fishermen. So that was the diet of my first-generation patients, and they avoided basically all the diseases that I was trained to treat when I was a medical student. All the chronic diseases. They avoided them. And it was because their diet that they learned in Japan or Philippines was a diet based on starch. And when they moved to Hawaii, they kept that same diet. But their kids didn't. Their children, they went to McDonald's and Texas Drive-In. And, you know, they wanted to live the American way. And now in Hawaii, we have some of the fattest, sickest people in the world. I saw that on my plantation. My second generation patients were a little fatter, a little sicker, and the third generation were just like the people I trained on in Michigan or California or wherever else I practiced. They became true Americans. So that's where I learned it. That's where I learned what caused disease where I learned what cured disease should have been obvious. You stop throwing gasoline on a fire, it stops burning. I went back into training to become a board-certified internist. And I started reading the scientific literature, scientific research papers. And actually, the literature, you know, if you don't truly classify it as science, like, for example, the Bible and other historic writings, clearly define what I'm talking about. They clearly define that the human diet is a diet based on starch with fruits and vegetables. And if you eat the king's and queen's food, you get fat and sick. So when I went back into training, I started reading the scientific literature that had been published, particularly over the previous, this was 1970, particularly over the previous 100 years. And what I found was my discovery was not unique. And more importantly, if you stop doing what makes you sick, you get well. And so people were curing type 2 diabetes and reversing artery disease and relieving chest pain, losing weight and curing constipation and so on. They've been doing that for hundreds of years and publishing the results in literature for thousands of years. And in recognized scientific literature, they've been publishing it consistently, if you know how to read the literature, consistently, that the human diet is a diet based on starch with fruits and vegetables and animal foods like cheese and milk and chicken and fish and beef and so on are a serious burden to the body. And after a while, the accumulative effects get to the point where we give names to the problems people have. And I just named them. Hypertension, heart disease, diabetes. But the good thing to know is that almost everybody who changes to a starch-based diet gets rid of these diseases and gets off their medication and starts living their life again. I've been doing this. I've been in medicine for over a half a century. I've been doing this kind of medicine for 40 years. I published results in the scientific literature on patients, my patients, 7 papers. One paper we did was on 1,615 people, and it showed in 7 days eating as much as they wanted, the average weight loss was 3.1 pounds, average drop in cholesterol was 22 points. Nearly 90% of people got off their blood pressure and diabetic medications. And the interesting thing, which is really important for you to hear, is that 85% of people remain compliant to the diet that I taught them. This study was done through Oregon Health and Science University, the medical school in Portland. 85% of people remained adherent to the diet after I taught it to them. No other intervention by me for a year. In other words, they permanently changed. Those are the kind of results that we see typically. In other words, cure of these chronic diseases, and sustained commitment to a diet that tastes great and gives you everything you want in terms of physical appearance and bodily function. Well, when I say everything, not everything. I mean, there's some things we've done to ourselves that are permanent. You know, there are scars here and there, and you know, the body's healed a lot of the damage, and you know, that healed part of the disease is not going to go away. But you can stop new attacks of your joints. In other words, rheumatoid arthritis. And you can stop, the ongoing cancer-inducing properties of the food that you put in your intestine. You can stop that right now, today, if you learn that your food is based on starch with the addition of fruits and vegetables, and you eat animal foods, if you choose to do, on celebratory times, like you have turkey for Thanksgiving or ham for Christmas or cake on your birthday or eggs on Easter. But you can't have these holidays 3 times a day and expect anything but sickness. So anyway, that's how I discovered it. That's the way I've been practicing for 40 years. I've taken care of over 6,000 people residential, in other words, in a in-house situation where I had full control of their eating everything for 10 days. I've taken care of more than 6,000 people. And I've taken care of an additional 5,000 outpatients. There are hundreds of thousands of people who follow what I recommend or very similar. There are millions of people who follow what I recommend, but not enough, not too few. Everybody wants to look good, feel well, live long, you know, pretty much. They are just being lied to, and they're being lied to for honest reasons. That is, people like to make money. And the nature of business is to make money. And so money drives the message. And the reason that you learn something completely opposite of what's true, even though it's killing your children and your spouses, is because the meat industry and the dairy industry and the drug industries and the hospital industries and the doctor industries are just making handfuls of money. So there's no reason to tell you the truth. They're not trying to hurt you. They just want to make money.
Yes, unfortunately. What role does the healthy fats like nuts, seeds, and avocado play in the starch solution?
Well, it's interesting. There's a lot of promotion over nuts and seeds these days. I don't know. I guess that's a niche that some diet gurus feel needs to be filled because they like nuts. Or, you know, nuts are some of the healthiest rich foods. Nuts are rich food. That's why they put them in hard shells, so they're hard to get at. These are delicacies that you're supposed to have maybe on Christmas or, you know, some other special time of the year. They're 90% fat.
So they're not compliant with the starch solution?
No, you can have some nuts, sure. But if you want to lose weight, you don't. You know, I mean, it depends on what you're trying to accomplish. There's nothing unhealthy about nuts and seeds, except for the fact that they're 90% fat and, you know, just packed with calories, and they're going to make you fat. But otherwise, they're natural plant foods that are healthy. They're just too rich.
Well, how about for the omega-3? Where should we find that?
Omega-3 fats are made by plants. No fish, no other animal makes omega-3 fats. Rice is loaded with omega-3 fats. Oranges. Potatoes have enough to supply your needs. You don't have to go to concentrated nuts and seeds. Totally unnecessary and damaging in the sense that it keeps you fat. These are what I call fat vegans. I've written an article about fat vegans. And fat vegans don't seem to be offended because I guess the tone I put the article in. You know, I said, you know, vegans, you are so important. You're trying to save the world and protect the animals. But too many of you, and I'll tell you, it's about half of them, too many of you don't represent good health. You look sick and fat. And who's going to listen to you about the importance of food in the environment or animal rights or, you know, the harm done to animals? Who's going to listen to you when they look at you and they find you looking unhealthy and unattractive? So, you know, vegan's not the right idea. The right idea is starch-based. Nuts are vegan, and so is Coca-Cola.
Okay. Now, I get a lot of pushback from people when I tell them they should avoid oil, even olive oil. Do you promote oil?
No.
No oil?
No oil. No added oil. Oil is not a food. It's an isolated, concentrated ingredient of a food. It is not a food. So it's just oil. It doesn't have any vitamins, minerals, or very few proteins. It's just oil. Somebody takes a nut or an orange or some other food and processes it, squeezes a substance out called oil, and then you eat it, and And the consequences are, you know, primarily and most obviously, you become obese. You wear olive fat, or you wear corn fat. You know, there's nothing more attractive to olive fat than there is cow fat. I mean, they're both just as disgusting around your waist. So, no, you should be eating these things except special occasions. These are delicacies. You know they're delicacies.
How about sugar? What role does sugar play in the starch solution?
We use sugar at our clinic. I run a 10-day live-in program that people come from all over the world, so our doctors can help them get off their medication, which we do, like I said, nearly 90% of the time. We stop or reduce all their medications.
Wow. Congratulations.
Well, it's very simple. If you stop the cause of the problem, then the body heals.
So we
give them some sugar. Your question was sugar.
Yes.
We have a bowl of brown sugar on the breakfast table for their oatmeal. There's some sugar and other ingredients. The situation where I want people to like the food, and what they really like is salt and sugar. So we give them a little salt and sugar on the surface of the food so they like it. It's a small amount of ingredient. Very few people would do any harm to. In fact, I could argue that it could be in many ways healthy to add salt and sugar to the food, but let's not get into that kind of discussion. We use it on the surface of the food so people like the food.
I understand.
And you know the Mary Poppins movie? Remember Mary Poppins?
Of course.
A little bit of sugar makes the medicine go down?
Yes.
Well, that's kind of the way we do it. You don't have to eat the salt or the sugar, but you know, you're more likely to eat the food if we make it taste good.
My next question is, what are your views about vitamin supplements, especially B12 and D?
Well, we recommend B12. The risk of B12 deficiency is less than 1 in 1,000,000. But it's one criticism people can have about what we tell people to eat. And probably it's an issue at all because we're so hygienic. You know, we kill all the bacteria around it, every bacteria we can find. And bacteria make B12. But even under those circumstances, B12 deficiency is almost unheard of. So because there may be a case occurring someday, sometime, in 10 million people who eat this way, I recommend people take a B12 supplement. Vitamin D is not a vitamin. It's a hormone. It comes from the sun's action on the skin. Taking vitamin D supplements, either by injection or pills, increases your risk of falls and fractures and many other side effects. It's toxic. Yeah. You shouldn't be taking it. You should go out in the sun. Go for a walk.
Okay. Since we have a little time, I wanted to, a few people from the Ordinary Vegan community wanted me to ask you a couple of questions. And this is from Anade. She wants to know if the starch solution can help with polycystic ovarian syndrome, since most studies recommend low-carb diets for POS.
Yeah, they recommend low-carb diets for POS because of something called insulin resistance. And if you eat a diet without any carbohydrate, you lower insulin resistance. People become more sensitive to insulin. PCOS is due to being overweight. It's cured by any form of weight loss, essentially 100% of the time. The reason I would ask you to cure PCOS with a starch-based diet is because you're likely to stay on this kind of eating forever because it tastes so good and it gives you so many other positive effects. Because it's the same diet that reduces your risk of breast cancer, heart disease, multiple sclerosis, et cetera. So yeah, you can lose weight on the Atkins diet or get bariatric surgery or fast or whatever, and you'll cure PCOS. when you lose the weight. But you really won't solve the underlying issue, and that is that you're not eating the right food for overall general health, and one of the manifestations has been you develop polycystic ovary disease. But there are lots of other things going on, too. You're also obese. You probably also have constipation and high cholesterol and prediabetes or diabetes. And so, yeah, fix the problem. Go to a starch-based diet.
Okay. This is from Susan. She says her blood pressure is high in the morning and settles down in the afternoon, even after eating compliant. Do you have any advice, and should she just avoid all salt? Could it be salt that's causing this problem?
Salt only has a minor impact on blood pressure, unless you get extreme. If you get extreme in your salt intake, like less than 500 milligrams a day, which is what's recommended on the RICE diet, a diet made famous by Walter Kempner at Duke University. If you go to those extremes, yeah, you get a reduction in blood pressure. But otherwise, what's recommended for reducing salt intake does virtually nothing to blood pressure. So I don't focus on salt as far as solution to one sign of eating too much rich food, which is the blood pressure goes up. What I do is I go to the source of the problem, which is the food. And I have to get you to eat it. And eating saltless food is unpalatable. So even when people with high blood pressure, I suggest if they want to, if they like it, that they add a little salt to the surface of the food. I think I just generally hearing your friend's worries and comments, I would just generally say she's overreacting to one single sign of possible poor health, and that's the blood pressure. And she ought to be reacting to the whole issue, and that is her general health, which is a whole,
right,
whole diet issue. So yeah.
This question is from Sharmila. She said, do you have any specific tips for people suffering with hypothyroidism?
Hey, you take thyroid medication.
Okay.
You got hypothyroidism from your diet. It's an autoimmune reaction called Hashimoto's thyroiditis. And what happens is when people eat animal thyroids, how do you eat animal thyroids? Well, they come in the form of hot dogs and sausages and so on. At the slaughterhouse, they waste nothing, including the pig thyroid or the cow thyroid gland. And they grind it up and sell it to people as pills. That's one way to take it, or you can take synthetic thyroid. But when people eat thyroid, say as hot dogs or sausages, they eat a foreign protein that the body reacts to, and it makes antibodies, which go and attack and get rid of these pig thyroid proteins or cow thyroid proteins that you just ate in your hot dog. But these antibodies are not all that specific. They also attack the human thyroid gland, and you get thyroiditis, and it destroys your thyroid over years, and the thyroid's gone, and it's not going to grow back. So what you have to do is take a thyroid supplementation, and I recommend synthetic thyroid called levothyroxine, because I don't want my patients eating pig and cow thyroid glands.
Thank you. Last question is from Trish. She has eosinophilic asthma and wants to know if the starch solution can lower the eosinophilic levels.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I'd certainly give it a try. You know, eosinophilia is a allergic reaction sometimes to parasites and sometimes to, you know, medications, and it has many causes, but give it a try. You have nothing to lose. Eat well and see what happens to your eosinophilia. I just have not had enough experience to give you an opinion.
Dr. McDougall, before you go, can we just briefly talk about the programs you offer through the Dr. McDougall Health and Medical Center? Because some of them just look so amazing that just touch on what you offer for people who are sick.
Well, first of all, everything's free on the website, pretty much. So the website is the foundation of the program. You get, you know, 600-700 recipes free there. You can get all the instructions free there. I mean, everything's free on the website. It's drmcdougall.com. That's drmcdougall.com. drmcdougall.com. So that's where you go. And information you got, it, help, you've got it all there. But we run other programs because people need more. They need personal contact, et cetera. And so we run three-day weekends. We have one coming up this September of 2018. We run 10-day live-in programs where they have medical care. We have 60 people coming to the one that starts in, I think, 2 weeks. It's sold out.
Wow.
And what we do is we take care of these people at our clinic, which is in Santa Rosa, California, for 10 days. And our doctors take them off their medications in most cases. And we teach them to eat well, and we check their blood, and we give them good medical care, real good standard medical care. Now, nothing alternative or holistic or, you know, anything you'd call, but just regular old basic medical care. We treat what needs to be treated in terms of pills, which are very few. You know, we have type 1 diabetics. They need insulin, and people without a thyroid need thyroid gland hormone. So there are medications we prescribe. We're regular old doctors, board-certified family practice, board-certified internal medicine, and so on. So we give them medical care at the 10-day program and feed them for 10 days and people are thrilled. As I say, we published this paper. You can find it's in the Nutrition Journal in 2014 on 1,615 people. It talks about their number changes, but it should talk about how well they feel, how nice it is not to be constipated or have constant indigestion or, you know, to suffer from arthritic pains. That's not reported in the scientific papers, or how much fun they had at the 10-day program or the weekend, meeting other people who are trying to make these changes and having the same difficulties they are, or have made changes and have wonderful things to report. So these personal programs that we run are very valuable. In the September program, we will probably have about 200 people. And we run about 60 people for our 10-day programs per program. We also run programs for companies, like, for example, CenturyLink, which is a telecommunications company. Forbes magazine, Forbes magazine.
That's great.
Did a short piece on us. Last month, it would probably be July 2018, on the McDougall program, taking care of people at CenturyLink and how we have cut their medical expenses by 32%. You know, they're thrilled. We take care of employees at Whole Foods. We've cut the medical expenses of their employees dramatically. So we run also programs for businesses, and we do those several times a year, and they send their employees and we send them back healthy, and they look at the balance sheet and find out that the profits are outpacing the losses. Medical expenses should be, you know, an unusual part of somebody's employment. People should be healthy. They should be focusing on their job. Instead, they're focusing on their days off or getting away to take their pills or the doctor's appointments, or, you know, they have to go to the hospital for this surgery or that surgery, or, you know, it's not fair to anybody.
No, it's not. Well, my very last question to you, Dr. McDougall, is what would you say to anybody listening today who suffers from a chronic disease like type 2 diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure, or even an autoimmune disease, what advice would you give them?
Well, why don't you fix the problem? Why don't you stop the cause of the disease? You have to find out the cause. You can do that like I did with clinical experience. In other words, seeing people who are sick and then watch them get well and make changes. Or you can go read the scientific literature like I've done for the last 50 years, last half a century. I've been a passionate reader of scientific journals. But you've got to understand the message is that you are a starch eater, a starchivore, and that 90% of your food needs to be potatoes or rice or corn. And then the rest of it is fruits and vegetables. And animal foods are not part of your diet, at least a healthy diet. You can tolerate them. I mean, after all, people are strong. They put up with 2 packs of cigarettes a day, a half a bottle of whiskey a day, hot dogs and hamburgers. It's amazing what the human body is in terms of its ability to heal and to resist such damage. So I'd find out what the truth is and, find a couple of recipes you like and just eat. Make it simple. Mary and I, who's been my partner for 46 years, we have oatmeal every morning for breakfast. For lunch and dinner, we have pretty much the same things. We have leftovers for lunch and maybe a Dr. McDougall soup, which is a brand of soup that we sell in 6,000 stores across the country. Or, like I say, leftovers from the night before. Dinners are simple. They're potatoes and rice and beans. And probably my favorite is mashed potatoes with corn and some other vegetable and a gravy.
Yum.
Oh, fantastic. That'll be my favorite meal. I actually had that at a restaurant last night. I'm sure it wasn't perfect, but it was pretty darn close.
Sounds delicious.
And things like we'll have beans and potatoes and they're very simple meals. Find one or two starch-based meals you like and just repeat them over and over again. You got to do something with your medication. So go to your doctor and tell your doctor, you think you can do without this medication? Will you help me with a trial of stopping this blood pressure or diabetic pill or whatever? Try and get the doctor's cooperation. If you can't, then find another doctor. But more and more physicians these days are realizing that diet will make a huge change, a huge benefit. They've seen enough people walk in their office who've lost 100 pounds or gotten off 25 different pills, as they know how important diet is. So it's not like when I started this out 40 years ago where everybody thought I was crazy to think food had anything to do with health. Things have changed. You get a receptive professional audience, dietitians, doctors, to listen and help and learn. So you may need to have a medical professional involved with you and just eat lots of food. You never have to be hungry. And then after you've got all this great health, which you will get guaranteed, just like I'll guarantee if you quit smoking, you're going to stop coughing. And if you quit drinking, you're going to stop falling down. I guarantee you. If you stop eating these poisonous foods, and they fall into two categories, poisonous food, animal foods, be they frog legs or pig eyes or animal foods are one category of poisonous foods. And the other category of poisonous foods are oils, olive oil, corn oil, vegetable oil. These are toxic. So that's all you have to remember. I'm not eating oil. I'm not eating animals. And what you eat is starch, fruits, vegetables. And you just do that and sit back and watch. And what happens is your body does what it does naturally. It spontaneously heals. Rarely. I mean, I can't think of a time when a patient was disappointed when they made such a change in the with their results. They're so dramatic. Of course, it's a big change, too. But I'll remind you, there are things that you've done to yourself that aren't reversible. But most of the problems are reversible.
Thank you. And thank you so much for being here today and sharing all of your knowledge with the Ordinary Vegan community. We really appreciate it.
Go out and spread the good news. We have a planet worth saving.
Yes,
there's a solution that's so simple. It's hard to believe because it's so simple. People say, if it's that simple, why doesn't everybody do this? Well, it really is that simple, and it's so vital. So learn the message, spread the good news, save the planet. Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. McDougall. Right.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk to your friends.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview. I know I did. I will include links to Dr. McDougall's book, The Starch Solution, and all of Dr. McDougall's books and programs in this week's show notes. Thanks so much for joining me today. You can also join our health and wellness community on Facebook. There are over 315,000 healthy, vibrant community members waiting to embrace you. Just go to facebook.com/ordinaryvegan. Or join me on Instagram for exclusive recipes. Just search for Ordinary Vegan. If you are suffering from chronic pain or anxiety, many people in the wellness world are turning to cannabidiol, commonly referred to as CBD oil from hemp, for its powerful anti-inflammatory and anti-anxiety effects. I researched CBD oil from hemp for over 2 years, and I believe it is the next natural step in health and wellness for anyone suffering from anxiety disorders, depression, chronic pain like arthritis, back pain, and migraines, to name a few. You can now purchase safe and effective plant-based CBD oil from hemp from me. Just go to ordinaryvegan.net to learn more. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please subscribe, and thanks again for being here. Till next time.
Thanks for joining our plant-based community today. Together, we can accomplish great things. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of Ordinary Vegan's recipes and plant-based tips. If you have any questions or feedback, email us at questions@ordinaryvegan.net. Until next time.